A lot of times, people with disabilities are not asked what they want. Sometimes we jump straight into planning that we don't pause to take the time to truly understand what they're working toward for their vision for a good life.
Hi, this is Steve.
And this is Carrie.
Welcome back to episode 2 of Charting the Life Course with our special guest, Tracy Vincent. Tracy is a trained facilitator from the Michigan Developmental Disability Council. In episode 1, we learned that everyone exists within the context of family and community. And the direct supports people with disabilities receive are not typically integrated with or connected to the family or community. Most come through service providers or agencies.
We also learned that the term family support, I'm doing air quotes there, typically means support and respite services for parents and care providers based upon eligibility and programs, services, and available funding. But, air quotes again, supporting families includes all family members, parents, siblings, grandparents, and others. Supporting families recognizes and offers supports for the roles played by all family members.
We also learned about the reciprocal roles of all family members, and this is an interesting distinction. There are those who care about the person with disabilities. Usually they're offering affection and self-esteem. Those who know their story and the family culture, traditions, routines, and they offer a lifetime of commitment. Then there are those who care for the person with disability. They are care providers, material and financial supporters, facilitators for inclusion, and advocates for support. Now, Carrie, I got a question for you.
Sure.
Which role do you think is filled by parents?
Well, that's the caring about.
But it's also the caring for, isn't it?
Well, they do that as well.
But the thing is this, which role gets fulfilled when we're no longer here?
See, that's the stopping point for most parents.
Yeah.
I know how to get all the supports in place, the caring for, but I don't know how to get all of the caring abouts in place.
That is what this whole Charting the Life course is about.
Indeed.
Is I see it. Because, you know, you can get someone to provide, facilitate inclusion, advocate support, but who's got the story? Who cares, and who's got a lifetime commitment?
Right, and who's going to tell them that you're my hero?
Right.
Right.
You know, that's the part that really bothers our parental heart.
Exactly. So, Tracy also discussed the life stages of individuals and family life cycles and how these changes over time, they influence the lives of all the family members. Today we learn about life trajectories and the value of life experiences, whether that's a success or a failure, how to create a vision for a good life, the dignity of risk and the value of mistakes, the 3 buckets of support. I really like that one. That was excellent. And where you can find all the tools.
So let's go on now to our interview in episode 2 of Charting the Life Course with Tracy Vincent. We're back today with episode 2 on Charting the Life Course and talking to Tracy Vincent. So Tracy, welcome back.
Well, thank you. So today we're going to be talking about the life trajectory, experiences, and life stages. And I had mentioned in part 1 that Charting the Life Course is not about the tools, but that the tools will really help guide those conversations on helping an individual create a good life. And so the first tool I want to talk about is the concept of trajectory. The trajectory is the path that will either lead you towards the good life or lead you towards things that you don't want in your life. If you really think about shooting an arrow, the path of the arrow is where you want to head. It's the path that will take you towards the vision for your good life or your goal, or what some people call their North Star, which I really love that term, because when you really think about what your goal is, that's where you're headed. That's your North Star. If you can visualize an upwards arrow, the end of the arrow has a bubble, and in that bubble is your North Star or your vision for a good life. So for me, in my vision for a good life, it's having a healthy family, having friends, being able to exercise and stay active. Worship is very important to me, camping and reading. That's my vision for a good life. Now, if you visualize a downward arrow, and the bottom of the arrow will lead you things to that you don't want in your life. And so for me, what I don't want is to be unhealthy, to not have access to technology, not being able to work, being isolated and not having any friends. You know, when we present this in person, because we do a lot of Charting the Life Course presentations around the state, we will have participants fill out their trajectory as a group and really just, you know, talk amongst each other and share with one another what their vision is for a good life. And with many of their responses, those things are that people want are what most people want. You know, even people with disabilities. You know, we don't want to be lonely. We don't want to live in poverty. We want to be healthy and have friends and, you know, maybe have a job or volunteer. But a lot of times, people with disabilities are not asked what they want. Sometimes we jump straight into planning that we don't pause to take the time to truly understand what they're working towards for their vision for a good life. And in the same breath, it's also very important to know what they don't want in their life and making sure that as people who support them, we don't put them on a path to what they don't want. Because once we know where they want to head, we can figure out what we can do to help plan, problem solve, and support them to get their good life. Now, the trajectory is very versatile. It can be used for anyone, for any age and any stage in your life. It can be very broad. So you may have a broad goal, or you may have a very specific goal, or it might be a goal that's time limited. It might be what we're doing right now in this moment. We might have a trajectory on what is happening for this week or on a life issue, such as, like you had mentioned, Steve, retirement, maybe buying a house, losing weight, or even on coping with COVID-19 and balancing life while in quarantine. So the trajectory can be used for anyone and for anything that you want to work on or that you're dealing with an issue. Because like I had mentioned, it's to plan and to problem solve. But like you had mentioned, that trajectories are not always straight because life happens. There's bumps in the road. But you can always get back on track. And as a person who supports that individual, it's their job to get the arrow back to where that person's goal is, to their vision for a good life. Because I also want to mention that we all have the power to impact someone's trajectory. And so we have to be really careful. Are we nudging that person towards what they want or what they don't want?
That's a good point. Unintentionally, we can be a negative influence in someone's life. And if we're not listening, we won't know.
Absolutely.
The next one talks about trajectory across life stages and life transitions. It gets a little more complicated with the arrows. And this is a good visual, so you'll want to look this one up.
Yes. Yeah, so the life stages is another element of the concept of trajectory. And you think about what is happening in early childhood. What do you want adulthood to look like? And where are you now? And so this slide really shows that we can't ignore the life stages, even the previous life stages, even though you may be focusing on your current situation. So we really have to think about as we go through life, you think about what has happened prior, but what are the stepping stones for your next stage in life? Because they're all connected and build upon one another. So when we think about life stages and life transitions, we often default to like formal transitions, such as getting a diagnosis, and then you enter early childhood, and then you enter school, And then when you're 14 to 16, you have transition planning and you move into adult life. But this really focuses on thinking about what are other people without disabilities doing during these same life stages? You know, do they have chores? Are they doing things in their community? Are they having, or do they have hobbies? Utilizing the trajectory helps people think about life experiences that are happening. You know, when you know where you want to head, begin to work on those skills and have those life experiences to help prepare you for your next stage in life. So really knowing the path, knowing what to expect, what is coming can be very important, but not also focus on formal transitions because we all need life experiences in order to reach our future goals. And this really also really helps families to see the possibilities for their child and to have higher expectations for their children because you start having different conversations. You start thinking about real life experiences, being part of your community, having chores, because those life experiences will give you the skills that you need for whatever your goal might be for yourself. Because as we know, life experiences and having those life experiences prepares you for the next phase in your life. Having a chore or having chores as a child helps you prepare for employment. You're learning skills. You're having responsibilities. You're part of the family. You have a role in your family. If you receive an allowance, that really helps you learn about money and also make mistakes with money. Because we all have made mistakes in our lives, but that helps us to learn and grow. Learning to say no helps the person protect themselves. Utilizing the trajectory as a way to understand what were the past life experiences and what are some of the things that you have to build into the future as you look at each of the life stages.
I don't know about you, but probably the most important things I learned in life, I learned by making a mistake first. That is something we can't deny the benefit of that to our kids.
Absolutely. And that takes us right into the next area, which is dignity of risk and mistakes. And so I want to start out with a story. So Dr. Shelley Reynolds, she is the director of the Family to Family in Missouri, which is housed within the University of Missouri, Kansas City. And she has a brother who receives disability services. And when he was about 7 years old, being the curious young boy that he was, he had lit a match and a blanket that he had lit on fire. And because he was receiving services, an incident report was filed. And so when he was about 20 years old, they happened to look in his file and it was red flagged and he was labeled as a fire starter. And so he carried this life sentence for the majority of his teenage years.
Wow.
And so that really begs the question of how long does a person have to live out that life sentence because of that one experience? I mean, he was a seven-year-old curious boy, as many seven-year-old boys are. Why should they be labeled? We have to make sure that we give people the dignity of risk and letting them make mistakes and it not being in their file forever. Because we all make mistakes, we all have consequences to those mistakes, and we move on, and we move past it. But people with disabilities are often labeled or restricted for life because of that simple mistake. You know, they're labeled as a fire starter or can't use the internet. You know, how does a person learn to stay safe if someone's always protecting them from everything? You learn to stay safe by having life experiences, learning to say no, learning who you can trust, who you cannot trust. And I really like this slide because it says, never be defined by your past. It was just a lesson, not a life sentence. And that is so important to keep that in mind when we're talking about people with disabilities, because many times we protect, and of course, as parents, we want to protect our children, but we also have to give them the dignity of taking risks, of having life experiences and making mistakes. That's part of life, and that's part of life for everyone.
It reminds me of a family member who told me when I was a young boy, and they were not doing this as a joke, it was serious. Don't ever raise your hand because you might be called upon and you might say something stupid. Oh, and also, if you never try, you can't fail. But the reality is, you're failing all the time if you don't try. I think it's
absolutely
a little bit of deficit thinking that sometimes we carry into adulthood. We all make mistakes. It's okay to make a mistake. The gracious thing is to have somebody there to help pick you up and say, gee, what did we learn? And those are lessons that stay with you the rest of your life. I own my mistakes in life, and I cherish them because I paid a lot for some of them, but they're great lessons.
Absolutely. And, you know, as I had mentioned previously, all of your life experiences are part of your trajectory. And so if you're not given an opportunity to take those risks and have those life experiences, then what does that do to your trajectory?
Correct.
It leads you on a path that you don't want to be on.
And it doesn't give you much confidence that you'll be able to achieve something better than a low trajectory because you haven't demonstrated to yourself what your capabilities are.
Exactly. So we are going to move on to the different life domains.
Okay.
And the life domains are the different aspects and experiences in life that we all consider as we age and grow, such as daily life, community living, healthy living, etc. Now, in the disability field, oftentimes the service system and sometimes families tend to focus only on the health and safety of their family member, but leave out important discussions on friendship, transportation, what they want to do during the day. And so Charting a Life Course has identified these other life domains that move beyond health and safety, but also address it because it is important. You know, how can we ensure choice and provide health and safety? And so I'm going to take you through each of the domains. And the first one is daily life and employment. That entails education, employment, maybe some volunteering, life skills. And then we have community living, which encompasses housing, living options, home adaptations and modifications, community access, and transportation. The next one is social and spirituality, and that is friends and relationships, personal networks, your faith community, maybe leisure activities, healthy living that includes medical, behavioral, nutrition, wellness, affordable care. We have safety and security, which is emergencies, your well-being, legal rights and issues, guardianship options and alternatives. And then lastly is citizenship and advocacy. And that's all about making choices and setting goals, having responsibility, peer support, and leadership. And all of these domains, they're all interrelated and connected. What happens in one area of our life also affects another part of our life. If you think about going to a gathering or a party, we have those conversations. We kind of go through those life domains as part of the conversation. You know, hey, where do you work? Do you work? Where do you live? You know, what do you like to do for fun? Do you work out? Those are things that we all talk about or all think about because our lives are complex and multifaceted. Like I had mentioned, they all interconnect with one another because what happens in one area of our life, say something in our job, will affect your family or housing situation. If you get a job offer in another area, a city, or another state, that's going to affect your housing situation or maybe your family situation. And so it's really important to recognize the interconnectedness of everyday life so that we can work to make our lives as complete and fulfilling as possible. And so when we're supporting individuals, we really have to take into account all of these different life domains and how they are connected with one another.
It's all about balance, isn't it?
It is. It really is. And it's knowing you can't just focus on one life domain. They all connect with one another, and one area is going to affect another area in your life. And so you really need to think about all of those, because we are complete people. We're whole. We're not just pieced out, and you can't just focus on one piece. You focus on all areas so that you do have a whole, fulfilling, meaningful life. So we are going to move on to individualized support to achieve a good life. And I just want to recap what I've already talked about, which is the current realities and looking at the all. We've talked about the vision for a good life and a person's trajectory. We've talked about life experiences and how they connect and are interrelated. And we've also talked about the different life domains. Now, it's how do we get there? Keeping in mind the goal for both individual and families that we had talked about in part one, how do you operationalize supporting families? And you do this through three buckets. It's called the three buckets of support. They are strategies for supporting individuals and their families. The first bucket is called discovery and navigation. You know, sometimes we don't need anything but information about a topic so we can make a decision or simply know what's going on. Options and possibilities for employment, relationship, recreation, and navigating and accessing services. The second bucket is connecting. And this is just simply talking to someone who's been there. You know, we've learned that people and family members benefit from talking to others who've been in their shoes and can relate to what they might be going through at that time. So this could be support groups, counseling, peer-to-peer support, parent-to-parent support. We have MySibs for sibling support and other self-advocacy organizations. And then finally, there's the goods and services. And those are things that we connect with to make our daily lives possible. They can be simple as you're, you know, using your alarm clock or as complex as applying for formal services. So this might be, you know, any support or financial assistance, respite, you know, or maybe adaptive equipment. And we always want to make sure that we're filling all of our buckets, that we're not just dropping everything into the goods and services bucket. And I'm hoping that all of you will take a look at the materials after the podcast, because the goods and services bucket is green, which means eligibility support. We want to make sure that we're filling all of our buckets and not just the goods and services bucket. The all, which is the 100%, the all that we talk about can have access to all three buckets, even if they never receive formal services.
Part of the challenge is getting this message across to them and joining them in the conversation, because do we know where they are? Do they know where this kind of resource would be? I guess probably word of mouth is the best way to do that.
Absolutely. And like I mentioned, we have trained ambassadors on Chart and Life course that will provide these presentations across the state. And now that we're in this pandemic, we are providing presentations via Zoom/webinar, really to make sure that everyone has access and knows about Charting the Life course.
Place mid-break here.
So now I want to talk about another tool, which is the Integrated Star for Problem Solving and Exploring Options. If you recall, in part one of the podcast, we were talking about how services and supports are evolving, and we talked about the three circles, where you have the person within the context of their family and community, and they have those integrated services and support integrated where and when needed. That is called the Integrated Star. There are categories on each of the 5 points of the star. And this really helps to ensure that you're not putting your eggs all in one basket. So the star can be used in a lot of different ways. It can be used for mapping, to see what is needed, to problem solve around an issue or area. It can be used for planning and long-term services and support. It can be used for planning activities. And so I think that we all do this without even thinking about it. But this really gives us a way to organize the framework and to see it visually. Now I'm going to take you through each point of the star. The first one is on relationships. Those are the people in our lives. these are the individuals that can just help out with either, you know, one small thing, or maybe help with several things in your life, or help you with one goal. Those are family, the people that you love, care about, and committed to each other. It can be friends, you know, people that enjoy spending time together, things that you have in common with another person, and really care about each other. And then you have acquaintances, and those are just people that come into your, you know, come into frequent contact with the person that may not know them, you know, very well. That's the relationship part of the star. The next part of the star, the other point, is personal strengths and assets. Sometimes we forget to look at our own strengths, skills, or assets. You know, what can we use to build capacity or support our needs? We all have skills and strengths and abilities, so it's really important to look at your own contributions. So with strengths, things a person is good at or others admire or like. Personal assets, those are resources that are owned or can be accessed by the person. And then you have personal skills, and those are your personal abilities, knowledge, or experience. And those are all the things that you as an individual can bring to the table. Another point of the star is technology. And, you know, who doesn't use technology these days, especially in the times that we're in? Technology is very important to keep connected, you know, to keep in touch with family and friends. But when we talk about technology, it can be high tech or low tech. And it can be expensive. It can be inexpensive. Technology, you might have personal technology, which is, you know, common technologies that can be used by anyone. You know, smartphones, computers, alarm clocks, those sorts of things. And then there's environmental technology, which are innovative technologies designed to help a person navigate or adapt their environment. And then you also have assistive technology, which can be very specialized devices that assist a person with day-to-day tasks. I know of a family who uses those Nest cameras, which can be very inexpensive, and I believe they're installed like at your front door so that you know the camera activates when someone has come to your front door. And that helps that family have a peace of mind for when they leave their loved one at home by himself. They're able to go to work or go to the grocery store, but are comfortable to know that they can look at that camera on their cell phone, no matter where they're at, and see who's coming to the front door. So those are just examples of technology. And then another point of the star is called community resources. Those are the places and groups and resources in the community that any member might use or have access to. So places, businesses, faith communities, parks and recreation, our healthcare facilities, different groups, civic and membership organizations, and then government resources. Local services, public safety, social programs. So those are all community resources that a person can tap into. And then lastly are the eligibility specific supports. So even if someone gets paid services, they can make those services go further, as well as enhance the quality of life by tapping into other parts of the star. So people say it takes a village. And in this case, it takes the integrated support star to make sure that everyone has a good life. When we do talk about eligibility support, it can go beyond DD services. So what else might someone be eligible for based on age or gender or income? And those are things like food stamps or HUD housing, or maybe senior citizen discounts. So those are the five categories on each part of the star. And we want to make sure that you're not putting your eggs all in one basket or relying on just one part of the star. So for example, if you're only counting on paid services to get you your good life, what if something happens where you no longer are able to receive those services? What would that do to your trajectory? It would lead you on a path that you really don't want to be on. Or the same goes for relying only on relationships, relying on friends and family. You know, what if the family is no longer in the picture or no longer able to provide the support? What's that going to do to your trajectory? really making sure that you utilize each part of the star to help you meet your goal and your vision for a good life.
Speaking as a special needs parent, sometimes focusing on eligibility supports is what we've been trained to do from the time our kids turn 18, is to find out what they qualify for. And it seems to get an inordinate amount of attention out of fear about covering those deficits. It seems to be the default course and sometimes the easy one, and we don't get past that.
Absolutely. And what goes hand in hand with the integrated support star is it's called a calendar or a schedule, because we all use a variety of resources and supports to get us through the day. So there's a tool that helps people schedule their day or their week using different time slots and types of supports utilized. All of these materials will be available to be viewed, because these are some really great tools for people to use. But the idea is to color code the calendar based on the supports you listed in your integrated support star worksheet. So as an example, personal assets and strengths, that section of the star is light blue. If it's relationships, the color is purple. Technology is colored pink. If it's community-based, it's blue, dark blue. And then again, eligibility-based support is green. I'm going to take you through a scenario or an example. I'm going to use Ben. He's a 21-year-old man with an intellectual and developmental disability. When he graduated from high school, he was able to get 40 hours per week of support while his parents worked. So for those 40 hours during that week, he was with a paid support staff person. The rest of the time, his parents provided all of his support. So that's not really exciting for a 21-year-old man to be with a paid support person 8 hours a day, Monday through Friday, and then on the weekends, he was just with his parents. Over time, things changed a bit for him because they pulled out the integrated star and they went through each part of the star to get creative and to really think outside the box. What other resources can we use to help Ben get a more meaningful, fulfilling life? And I know you can't see the coloring here. Things look a lot different for Ben now. So Ben had volunteered at the local fire department, and part of his transition program continued after he graduated. Well, eventually he started going to the fire station without his staff because the firemen said, well, we can support him while he's there. You know, he doesn't need to use the support staff. And then he also volunteers on the football team. And they said, we'll take good care of him. He does not need to have his paid support staff here. So that really worked out well for him. And then they also realized, looking at the relationship section of the star, that the other family members and friends could spend time with Ben and accompany him to different events. And then Ben started learning about 5 minutes each day to stay home alone. And that's where they had utilized technology, and he had his iPad, but then they also bought the Nest camera so that they could also just keep an eye on him as well. Now, if you saw his calendar, it's a very colorful life now because they utilized all points of the star to really help him get a more independent life. And so that's just one example of how the star and the calendar can go hand in hand. It can really help you think outside the box on all different types of resources and support.
Tracy, do you have any statistics on how that reduced Ben's dependence upon paid supports?
I don't, but that's a great question.
Because I'm just thinking about it, and you're saying, well, he doesn't need it here and he doesn't need it there. And I'm thinking, wow, not only does this save money from the Medicaid standpoint, but it's giving a much better support because it's found in the community, which is, of course, the goal. And I do agree.
Absolutely.
I have it in black and white in front of me, but that calendar is busy now. It's got different shades of gray all over it, which I'll have to look online to see all the vibrant colors.
Absolutely.
What
and
a success
just
story.
To give people a reference, so before the integrated support, Ben's calendar was Monday through Friday was filled with green. And then the rest of the calendar was shaded in light purple. because that was paid support staff and his parents. Well, after they went through the integrated support star, now Ben's life is light purple, light blue, and green, and a little bit of pink in there as well. They really utilized all of those other resources and just had conversations with the fire department and the football team. And that's where it's so important to start building those relationships now. Where can you build those kind of relationships now so that person has a lifelong relationship and people that they can rely on when you're no longer there? To recap, and again, we do have a visual for this, and so I will try my best to explain, but to recap charting the life course in a nutshell, you have the person within the context of their family and community. You have the six life domains that are all interrelated and interconnected. You have the three buckets of support that we all need and can access. You have the integrated support star that focuses on personal strengths and assets, relationship-based, eligibility-specific, community-based, and technology. You have the trajectory towards a vision for a good life and those different life stages, you know, birth through aging, which all build upon one another. And so it's really important to help people have positive, healthy experiences, adequate support, and ample opportunities to learn and make mistakes so that they can have better outcomes later in life.
These are great tools. We'll put specific links to the things we talked about in this presentation. As I look at this, I'm thinking, man, I've been through with my son some really inadequate person-centered plans. I would say that if you are receiving services and have an annual person-centered plan, take a look at this material and bring it up next time you have a person-centered plan to make sure those three buckets are being considered in the 5 points of the stars. These materials can really make that planning session, the next time you have one, far more impactful and meaningful. Is there anything else, Tracy?
So we provide presentations at no cost. And if you would like a presentation for your area of the state or for a group of parents or for supports coordinators, for school personnel, please reach out to me and we will get a presentation set up for you in your area. More than likely, during these times, it will be held via Zoom, a webinar, but there's no cost to attend. It is free.
And the materials online, they cost nothing too, correct?
That is correct. All of the materials online are free. I really encourage you to go to lifecoursetools.com because they provide a lot of information. All of the tools are available to download and print for free. It gives a great information on what charting the life course is, and it breaks down each of the key principles. So I highly encourage you to check out their website. And if you would like to schedule a presentation in your area, you can contact me. And my email address is my last name, which is Vincent, V-I-N-C-E-N-T, T, the number one, at michigan.gov. And my phone number is 517-284-7296.
Now, if you were driving in a car and listening to this, and we don't want you to try to write those things down at the same time, we'll also post that on our website. And if you're listening outside of the state of Michigan, now, obviously, if you're in Maui, I'm thinking Tracy probably wouldn't mind going out there in January, but I don't think that the state of Michigan is going to compensate her for that. This is something which is presented and available in different states. You would probably check that lifecourse.com would give you some idea what might be available locally to you. Even if you're from some other state and you want to participate in a Zoom that's put on by Michigan, that would be perfectly okay.
Oh, absolutely. It's open to anyone.
Yeah, and there's nothing about this. This is state-specific in terms of benefits or anything. If you can't find something local, then tune in with us or tune in with us when a presentation is being made and then find local resources to follow up if you need. Tracy, thank you very much.
I just wanted to say thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to present. never be defined by your past. It was just a lesson, not a life sentence.
Hi, this is Carrie. I'm the head barista at the Enlocky Chat Cafe. Welcome. Grab a beverage of your choice. I currently have a lovely white Moscato tonight. And sit down and let's discuss a little bit some of that wonderful information that we just learned regarding the Chartering the Life Course, Episode 2.
And for those of you who must know, I am drinking a lovely caffeine-free red.
I didn't introduce you yet.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, go ahead.
And hey, here's our co-host, Steve. Hi, Steve.
Hi, how are you doing? Oh, nothing. I just got this lovely red.
So, Steve, what are the top points of this episode?
You know, truthfully, everything was a top point.
Gold nuggets everywhere, dude.
Really, because this all fits together into one whole piece.
Indeed.
Now, like, it's true that Tracy had said you can use just a trajectory piece for discussing certain specific things, but these are all steps to a process which is organic. It creates conversation. It triggers thought. It comes up with a much better plan, because if you're open and honest in sharing about this, you'll come up with some great ideas.
Right.
And you don't always get that at a person-centered plan or some other meeting where you've got 45 minutes or an hour or whatever.
The thing that I loved about this is, so we have these tools that we can print.
Yeah.
And Liam is somewhat non-communicative, mm-hmm. Especially in a timed format. So when we have a person-centered plan, no matter how comfortable and informal we try to make it, he's still uncomfortable.
He doesn't understand all those people in the same room,
exactly.
For one thing. He doesn't get it.
So if we're able to, over the course of weeks, which is probably what it's going to take, to ask these questions and gather this information and then piece this all together, I think this is going to work out really well.
It's a far better
model
gathering of information,
yeah.
And sharing of information than I've ever,
yeah,
seen before. And
yeah.
But contrast that. Now, yes, you could use this material for person-centered planning, and you could, if you did some homework ahead of time, covered in 45 minutes or an hour or whatever. It'll take longer than that to prepare for it if you want to do it the right way. But I really suggest that, you know, people do take those, the concept of the three buckets, uh-huh, into the person-centered plan and say it's really important and we consider it this way. And if you have an independent facilitator, which is even better, share this with him or her ahead of time, talk about your expectations are, and make sure that that's all covered in there. This is not an additional complication. This will just really juice up the person-centered plan and the individual plan of service. It'll make it more meaningful.
Right.
And what I think is lovely about this is I looked at and I thought, okay, you know, I retired 6 years ago. I'm doing some things in my life now that I really wanted to do. I have failed at some of them. I'm doing better at others. I'm going to sit down and do this for myself, because it really helps me in my trajectory for my later years of what I want to accomplish. It's not just for the people with the disabilities. This is about supporting families, and sons and daughters, siblings could do this, moms and dads, grandparents, anybody could do this process. It doesn't say disabled on it.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
It is for all.
Exactly. And it's also a fabulous tool to move out of a current pattern. You know, the young man who, you know, was all
green
services or parents, to move to this rainbow star. I was like, that is interesting.
So yeah, where he had the fire department and he had
your way of thinking about how these things can happen. And sometimes as parents, we kind of get stuck in the, well, you know, this is what we can get, so this is what we can do. No, there's other ways to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And this helps you think outside those boxes. It helps you say, well, you know, he does like to do that. What if we did a little bit of that?
Now, the danger in it is this. It's a little bit more work for mom and dad to think about, well, what will work here? Maybe we should try this and try that.
The three buckets?
The three buckets.
Right.
And some of them are not going to work out the way you'd like them to.
Right.
But that's life, isn't it? I mean,
it is life. So, and a mistake, I also love that, a mistake is not permanent.
I think the quote was, love this, never be defined by your past. It was a lesson, not a life sentence.
Exactly. A lesson, not a life sentence. I think that's one of the reasons why I always struggled so much with not wanting a whole bunch of labels on Liam. It's like, oh my God, they're just going to look at the freaking labels.
Yeah, I remember that even when he was very, very young, you didn't like labels.
I understand that they are helpful. Yes, they are. Yeah, they're also limiting.
But the problem was, and it's a deficit thinking, if you have the right labels, you qualify for the right programs and the right assistance. So it's a matter of, okay, keep the label machine running because at least we'll be able to get this kind of service. But that is an institutional kind of mentality, and it's a limiting type thing.
And, you know, people say, oh, he's autistic. Yeah, we don't even have to try with this one because he's not really going to. No. No, you got to try. You know, you can't just say, he's got cerebral palsy. He'll never walk.
We heard that from doctors, right?
Yeah. But, you know, it's like, okay, he does do some walking and it ain't pretty.
Yeah, but he does it. That's right. You proved him wrong.
This is all free, people. All this stuff that she's done, free. Print it out. Use it. Wallpaper the bathroom. I don't care. Use it. It's just, it's amazing. It's amazing things. And she'll present contact Tracy. Look at the PowerPoint. It's wonderful.
Absolutely. It'll all be posted on our website and our Facebook. You'll find all the worksheets, the PowerPoint, and the means to access the website where all these are free resources also. And you can print out
a plethora of YouTubes and just all kinds of stuff.
Keep in mind, you don't do this once, okay?
It's not a one and done.
You keep changing it.
Because life changes.
And you can type it out online and print it rather than having to write into the squares. So you can do that. I don't think you can save it, but you can print it out and have it. So
cool.
So who do we have to thank? The typical cast?
What are usual and customary suspects?
Right. First of all, I want to say I thank you for helping me with this podcast because it's so much easier to pull the wagon when there's two people,
absolutely,
at least.
Absolutely. Well, you are quite welcome. I think you just referred to me as an ass, but I'm not sure. We'll go on.
Maybe a pony.
Not an oxen?
No, not an oxen. A cute pony.
All right. Yeah,
My Little Pony.
A pretty pony. Got it.
A pretty pony.
Got it, dude. Okay. It must be a very small cart then.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And then thank you also, hon, for doing a lot of the stuff that you do. I know you stress yourself out over this, and most people would not even know that when they listen to it. So thank you. You're fabulous.
I hide the stress very well, don't I?
No. Not that good.
I got this glass of red.
You have a glass of red wine. Yes, you do.
And we want to thank Alex, our youngest son and our producer, who does a lot of work behind the scenes that I never could do. He has the technology down to a science, and he's very, very good at what he does. And I very much appreciate that.
Yeah.
And Holly.
Our eldest, Holly Johnson. She does our website and our graphic designs, and she is such a wonderful creative piece. And I say that most objectively, absolutely.
And we want to thank Danny Munoz, who is our intern, and she is always wanting to do more, and we're always seeking to give her more to do because she's very conscientious of what she does.
Absolutely. And also, let's a big thank you to you, our listeners.
Absolutely.
We appreciate it. Hope you keep coming back for more.
And bring friends, please. Recommend us to other people.
Send this out to friends.
Thank you much.
Thank you.
Until next week. Absolutely. Have a great one.
Thank you.